Okay, so when we had a pause before, we were just starting to talk about Precious Woods and how it got going with the plantations in Costa Rica.
Yes, and so they actually were forced to look for shareholders, and so there was an article in the paper in the Finanz und Wirtschaft which said that Precious Woods is looking for shareholders and they want to contribute against the destruction of the tropical forests and then the rebuild forests. And I was very fascinated by this idea. And I soon bought 100 shares of Precious Woods and got into contact with the responsibles and got to know them, got to know that they also had a project in Brazil for sustainable forestry. And then I also saw that they were in a permanent liquidity crisis, because, you know, the idea to plant every year is a very good idea, but it is very ambitious.
Very heavy on finances.
Yes.
You have to find the money every year.
Every year.
Yep.
And this is very difficult and have no cash flows, actually. And so I started to help them to look for shareholders. I asked my friends, my family.
And was this, I mean, your interest when you started college to look at the third world and work in medicine in the third world, did this really come back to you when you saw this opportunity? You thought, look, this is a chance to get involved in development and your love of forests as well? Is that what really motivated you?
Yes, I suppose these were elements. These
really?
Were elements, but of course I had a green engagement also from politics, from everything.
It just fitted perfectly with your
yes.
diverse interests.
Yes, and also I could use my knowledge of the investor's language.
Right.
And I soon organized, you know, Precious Woods at that time was not listed on a stock exchange, but you can also handle or treat shares over the corner.
Yeah.
So, but this has to be organized also. And I organized this. And and then we started to make this a little bit better. And I did actually, together with others, but I think I was the main promoter, find the first institutional investors for Precious Woods, which was the pension fund of Roche and the pension fund of the canton of Zurich and Basel Insurance Company.
And when was this?
This was actually in 1993-94.
So quite early for these pension funds to be considering forestry.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of them do it now. They're all buying
now. But then
this was the first.
Yes, but I think this was one of my strengths, to convince people, to motivate people. I know one of those portfolio managers said, after he had decided to invest a few millions, he said, if somebody would have told me when I became a financial specialist and a portfolio manager, at once a family doctor will come to me and convince me to buy stocks of a non-quoted company, I would have backed everything that this will never happen to me. But now it happened.
And yet it did.
Yes, I think that I developed during my life this strength of selling an idea.
But you have to have that passion behind it to sell.
Yes,
it.
And I must be totally convinced.
Yeah.
I could not sell anything which I think
you
is rubbish.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when I believe, it is difficult for friends of mine not to become shareholders. They needed a lot of resistance strength, and only very few had.
You got them all.
On this party,
yeah.
I also presented the different groups. There were those who have been with me in the college or in school time, and who've been with me in politics or have been with me in this holiday resort or so. But at the end I ask, now please, precious wood shareholders should stand up. I think this was more than 60%.
Yes.
So
you convinced them.
During all the years. And then in early 95, I had a bad feeling with Precious Woods because I saw that they spent too much money. At that time we had only Costa Rica, actually only Garza and Rio Tabaco. And we had a project in Brazil, but we didn't have an operation. And we had office in Garza, in San Jose, in Zurich, in Kirchberg, and they spent a lot of money on public relations and advertising and all kinds of things. And I was writing letters to the president at that time, which was Fritz Leutwiler, the former president of the Swiss Central Bank, which at the end resulted that they threw me out and said, "Well, Andres, we don't need you anymore."
They didn't want to listen to your advice.
I think Fritz Leutwiler was a very good economic strategist, but he was not very open to critics, or more the opposite.
Yes.
And then actually Precious Wood started in Brazil, and in the beginning this turned out as a catastrophe.
This must have been a real concern for you, because you'd embraced it with such passion.
Yes, and all my friends.
And all your friends as well. It must have been very stressful.
Yes, it was. And then Precious Woods got into a very deep crisis and almost mortal.
Yes, almost died.
Almost
went
died.
Out of business, yes.
And then in the late 96, Fritz Leutwiler and Romagnon both asked me to join the boat again, because they saw David can only save the company with the shareholders, and as many of the shareholders, especially the big shareholders, had been motivated by me, I was a key person
to build their confidence again.
Yes. So, as a matter of fact, in the late 96, they asked me to come back, and now not just in my free time, but about 50%. And this was a heavy decision for me. This was meaning that I had to give up part of my doctor's profession. But then I decided to do it, and took an assistant into my doctor's office. And from that time on, 97 until 2001, I was actually working 50-50. And I also did not ask for any compensation, financial compensation, because I saw that there was
no money to pay, I guess, at that
actually
time.
Yes.
They were in trouble.
And I still could live on what I saved, because the children were already, most of them were already out of the family. So, but I said, okay, needn't give me any money, but give me some options. And if it turns out very well,
based on your good work,
these options will have a value, and if it doesn't turn out well, the options will not have a value. And this also helped me to motivate shareholders, because I said, well, I am quite sure, and I hope with my full heart, that this investment will be a good investment for you. But in case it will not, at least you know that the guy who motivated you to buy these shares did not save a cent
himself.
Yeah.
He will go down with the ship as well.
Yes, or at least.
Yes.
Yes, and I think in that time my believability, is this?
Yes, your belief in the company, or
no,
your credibility? Or
credibility.
Credibility, yes.
My credibility was one of the most important capital I had to bring in. And that, yes, that was really a very heavy time. You know, we had...
And not just 1 year, presumably. This lasted for quite some years.
This lasted actually for 4 years.
Yeah.
We made losses and had to attract new capital in for a company that was making losses. That's really difficult.
That's hard work.
That's difficult.
And through that period, did you, I guess you travelled out to the forest and started to
get
a feeling for these countries? And
yes, I also took operative responsibility. You know, one of my conditions to join the company was that the CEO of that time, Roman Jan, was actually not having many competencies anymore, and we replaced him by a group: the president, the vice president, myself, and Roman Jan, who decided
operational matters.
Yeah, and as a small collective, actually.
So your experience in Migros started to come.
Yeah, Migros, and also all these groups, you know, where
you've been managing turnarounds,
and also I was not afraid of deciding in collectives. This was my
your strength, in fact.
Yeah, my life. Yeah. So this was now probably why was the crisis so big in Brazil. You know, they made a, in my eyes, a very good feasibility study before. But the feasibility study still had some heavy mistakes in it. Now, one mistake was about the harvest. They calculated to harvest around 35 to 40 cubic meters per hectare, which was not exaggerated, but as a matter of fact, we know now that for export, I mean exportable timber, we can harvest probably 12 to 18,
much smaller volume,
which was about one third of what was predicted. And the other problem was the sawmill yield. They were counseled by high schools and by experts, but not practitioners.
Right.
And they said, well, with these big
logs, yes,
you can calculate 55% of
recovery
yield.
Yes.
And we also know that, as a matter of fact, it is around for export quality around 15%,
right.
So less than a third again. So if we multiply this third with a third,
you're in trouble.
Yes, the yeah. catastrophe was clear, because the sellable, exportable timber per hectare harvested was about 10% of what was
predicted,
and some more smaller mistakes. And now is something very paradox. Fortunately, we misinterpreted the situation. We thought the situation is quite a bit better than it actually was. Because if we had knew how difficult the situation, as a matter of
really
fact,
was.
Is, I think the responsible board would have liquidated
yeah.
the company. And happily enough, we took wrong.
The wrong decision, in fact.
We understood it wrong. We only thought our sawmill is so small because our sawmiller is not good.
Right.
And we thought, the harvest will be can be increased if we do better. But still we made this mistake, but this mistake gave us the hope
to save the company, in fact.
And save the company, so this is something very paradox.
It was meant to happen, I think, Andres. Yeah. All of your years of good judgment, that was an important mistake to make. Because precious woods wouldn't be here now.
Yeah, that's it. But it's a, it's an interesting fact that actually a misunderstanding of a situation helped to save the company.
Yes. Thank goodness.
And then we, well, we saw the situation and we knew that we have to harvest bigger amounts to get enough timber. And we also knew that this means that we have to buy bigger surfaces.
Right.
And then Hans Stout joined the company, who was, you know, I was a medical doctor, the other, most of them were lawyers, and nobody came from the practice. And Hans at least came from the timber trade. And then Eddie Sturm, a wood engineer, joined the company, who had a good understanding of wood processing. So with more professionalism and with hard work, until the year 2000, in the year 2000, we actually made the break even in Brazil. Yes.
In Brazil.
It was still weak, but I mean,
there was a ray of hope.
Yeah. And I think that was the very, very big crisis between 96 and 2000. And I think it was actually my most important job to get the company through this difficult phases. And in this difficult time, find always new shareholders, motivate the old shareholders to bring new money. That was actually, out of what I had learned during my life, motivating, selling, convincing people, that was actually then the most important thing. Beneath that, we learned on the operation field.
Right.
You know, in plantations we had to learn a lot. In sustainable forestry we had to learn a lot.
When was the decision taken to go, obviously the FSC started in 1993, when did you decide to push for FSC certification?
Well, actually from the beginning. From, you know, precious roots was not a timber trader or a timber seller. That, after a while, was forced to put the green jacket on, but it was always founded actually to make a contribution against deforestation. And all the councillors, Ronnie De Camino, Professor De Graaf from Wageningen, they were all concentrating on the aim of sustainability. And of course, one built up everything for sustainability. And then when FSC
came into existence,
yes, then it was clear that we would like to go for this.
And when did you get your first certificate?
In May 1997.
For Brazil.
For Brazil, Amazon.
Must have been a great day for the company.
Yeah.
Marvel, and for you personally.
Yes, yes.
That international recognition that what you're doing is right.
Yeah. And Of course, at that time, FSC was also depending on the first company to realize it in the tropical forest.
And you were the first, I think, in tropical Brazil, in tropical Latin America.
In Amazon, yeah.
The Amazon.
I think in all tropical.
I think so, maybe.
Yes. And in Costa Rica, we were certified in '01, and in Nicaragua in 2000.
In Nicaragua, teak plantations as well.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
And so the FSC certification, did that help you in the marketplace to sell the
Yes.
I remember the announcement, in fact. I can't remember where I was, but I remember the announcement of Precious Woods getting certified, and it was a big moment for the FSC because it proved that it was possible. And the question everyone wondered at the time, well, okay, that's great. Is it going to help you guys sell the wood and to get a market?
I think that was actually the merit of Vandenberg. You know, they were our main clients, and they did actually a very good marketing on sustainability.
They believed it too.
They believed totally. They were looking all over the world for sustainably produced timber, and it was hard to find.
In those days.
So they found on the Solomon Islands a very small project.
Swift.
They could deliver some pallets a year. And when they saw that Precious Woods Amazon is actually a bigger operation, they came and gave us many orders so that we hardly had time to work for others.
Great. And I think one of the big things, and it ties back into what you were saying earlier about this, the yield and the problem you're having with the yield. One of the things I've always admired the work of Precious Woods is, and also Vandenberg's, is that you sold a lot of these so-called lesser-known species, wood species that hadn't come to the market much before. You've introduced them to the market, and of course this must have helped your yield and your profitability as well. That must have been a challenge, I guess.
Yes, and I think also here we must see that Vandenberg did a big and great job. And at that time, Vandenberg was not part of Precious Woods, but of course, we had to help them, we had to give them timber at low prices to be introduced in the marketplace. But they did a very good job in marketing and also working on this FSC premium and say, well, if you only want to discuss prices, then
talk to someone else.
Yes, you will not find this FSC certified timber.
And at the same time, I mean, in the Dutch industry and the Dutch government, the Dutch government's always been very positive about sustainably produced wood.
Yes.
And I guess that helped Vandenberg get a toehold in the marketplace there.
Yeah, that's sure.
Government contracts and things like that.
Yeah.
And I guess they were the only ones that could supply.
The whole consciousness was much higher in the Netherlands than everywhere else.
Yeah. And Switzerland too, I guess. I mean.
Yeah, but you know, tropical timber has a niche
just a small spot here in Switzerland.
Yes, we have so much own timber,
right,
that tropical timber, and was never having much importance, whereas Holland or Netherlands was traditionally depending on imported hardwoods.
The heavy hardwoods too, for a lot of the waterways and things like this. And what are some of the species that are, I mean, commonly produced in precious woods?
Yeah, for instance, one we introduced, which was totally unknown when we started, was Laurhamera, which is now a very important. And then all the species that are sold now under the name of Sapopira, right, for the window frames. Many of the Lauro species were totally unknown. Actually, Master Anduba, Ipe, Kumaru, and a few others were known when we started. And only Master Anduba was a species that was also in a certain quantity. Ipe, we did have almost nothing. So,
had the forest been cut before, or was it a virgin
forest?
No,
it was. Well, nobody knows exactly the total history of this forest, but it was more or less virgin, I think.
And how many hectares altogether?
The first part we bought was 80,000 hectares, and then we got it bigger. Today we have something about more than 500,000.
Yeah. So the FSC certificate, in a way, was a bit of a breakthrough for you. It enabled you to go to the market more strongly than before.
It was a breakthrough for us, and it was a breakthrough for FSC.
Yeah.
You know, FSC without operations that really do this was only a theory.
Yes.
So it was also a sort of a symbiosis,
yep,
between the both, the two. So I think precious woods and FSC were not synonyms, but
pretty much, very closely linked.
Yeah,
I think there was a big sigh of relief in the forestry world when precious woods proved that it was possible.
Yeah.
And what were some of the, I mean, I know from our work in the tropics, a lot of the challenges are the social issues, working with communities living in and around the forests. Some of the technical things are difficult, but they're just technical, and you have to do an inventory, you have to do environmental impact assessments. What were some of the challenges for precious woods?
Well, precious woods Amazon, we must see, we did not work in a concession. We bought the forest. And in the forest we bought, nobody lived there. We had nobody living in the forest and by the forest or from the forest. We had at the border of the forest, in a deforested area close to the rivers, we had some communities, but they were fishermen and agricultural people. They never were forest people. So we never had this problem of this classical social problem which you have today in Africa when you start an operation. This was not, you know, at that time we started in 1995, 1996, 1997, we had to prove that the forest remains forest.
Right.
And these technical problems, low impact harvesting, inventories, that was actually the key points at that time.
Right. So we won't jump forward too quickly to Africa, but you know, it's going to be interested to talk to you about Precious Woods experience there. Of course, you've just got a forest certified in Gabon, which is a fantastic achievement. But I mean, let's just sort of finish off on the Brazil process. As you say, you've gone from 80,000 up to almost half a million. You've gone from 80,000 hectares initially up to almost half a million hectares now. Sawmills, industry.
Well, we, you know, with the first forest, we also bought the sawmill, a very old sawmill. It was probably a false decision to renew this sawmill. One would better have left it and built a new one. But they renewed it. They did Swiss machines, used Swiss machines in it, which was also a false decision. But they decided like this. And the sawmilling was a deficit. It was not a good business for many years. But after many struggles and improvements, became okay also by now.
Yeah.
And we also made this sawmill bigger, and we bought another factory additionally, and we started molding and
a bit of value-adding processing.
Yeah.
You've never there's never been any log export from Brazil, I think.
No, log export was always prohibited.
Always prohibited, yes. This is one of the things that they do in Africa, and I know CIB and the companies there have invested heavily in value-added processing.
Yeah.
Makes a big impact for them.
Unfortunately, selling logs is still business-wise the best. Everybody always thinks that if you can add more added value by sawing and molding, and you will gain more. The practice so far has rather proved that the opposite is the case.
Right.
Unfortunately. And against all theories.
Yes. So that's Brazil. When did Precious Woods list on the stock market?
That was, you know, Precious Woods, when it was founded on the British Virgin Islands.
Right.
And so in 2001, the first thing we had to do is to move the legal
basis for the company
From the British Virgin Islands to Switzerland. So that was actually a precondition to become listed. And then we became listed in 2002.
Successfully? A successful listing?
Yes. You know, we were already a public company. We had 600 shareholders.
Mm.
And when we got
many of them your friends, of course.
Yeah.
Motivated.
Yeah, still
motivated.
Best friends. I mean, the majority were still people which I don't know personally. And so it was actually only the listing, and we took up very little new money when we made the listing. I think $10 million were francs. But in 2002 was also a very difficult time on the stock exchange generally. And nobody made an IPO. We were the only ones to get listed and collecting some money from the market. But we could collect some money by green funds. But then the first big capital increase when we were listed was in 2005, when we bought Vandenberg and when we made the basement actually for our African expansion.
And that started in 2005 or later?
That was actually in 2005. We made a big capital increase. We collected more than 100 million Swiss francs by increasing
and
capital.
That, and with that, was you invested in the GEB in Gabon or the?
No, that was actually to buy Vandenberg and to start the first investment in the Congo.
Right.
Was actually the announcement. And then in the Congo was the problem of the conversion of the titles.
Yes.
And because of this problem, we stopped this project.
Right.
And then actually used part of the money for Gabon. But this was actually only in 2006.
So in 2006 you bought Gabon, and in 2008?
No, 2007 actually.
2007?
Seven.
And in 2008 you've just received a certificate, an FSC
certificate.
So that's
an amazing
achievement too.
Yes, but you know, this is not actually the merit of Precious Foods. This is very much the merit of CAB.
The people that were there before.
Yeah. They started very early. They were actually pioneers in Africa. They made among the first forest management plans. And of course now for certification they had to achieve many additional points, especially on the social field. But many of the preconditions were fulfilled for many years.
You guys added investment, I guess, helped them down.
Yes,
that path.
It also was a. I think it costed more than $1 million or even $1.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
All the things we had to change.
And I know you and Erica have visited the Congo. What's that been like for you? I mean, you've had that experience out in the Amazon, visiting precious woods out there. That must have also been a great experience. But I sense that you love going to the Congo and you've had a great trip down there and great experience.
Yes. Well, the Congo story, let's probably talk a little bit about how it came to the Congo. You know, Precious Woods receives many requests for corporations from all over the world. And we normally write two sentences. Unfortunately, we cannot spread all over the world and we cannot.
Too many requests and it's difficult too. To support them all.
And when we got the first letter from these Congo people, we did the same. And they insisted, and they had a lawyer in Switzerland whom they knew, and he was he used to study together with our vice president Daniel Gürsberger. So Daniel came and said, well, Andres, you should be a little bit nicer with these people. And
this was Nord September?
Yes, that was a Jose. And then we said, okay, we invite them once before our executive committee session. Present themselves, and they came and we said, well, these are good people. It's not easy to say no without knowing more.
Some due diligence.
And we said, well, to give a qualified, no, we will invest 2 man-week to go to the Congo and look at this, because we were sure that this was rubbish. You know, we were full of skepticism. You know, Congo is the worst
country,
and we intuitively we thought this cannot be anything good. But then Hans Stout and myself went to the Congo. Hans stayed 5 days, I stayed 10 days. And at the end we had to say, well, it's even more difficult to say no. It is much better than what we thought it would be. The forestry operation is not as bad as we thought. The social tone in the company, the way they talk to each other is much better than we thought it would be. And of course, we were fascinated about the size.
Yes, it's a big area of forest, I think.
Yeah. It's
a great potential.
It's millions of hectares.
You would really have the chance to, I guess, to take precious woods to another level.
Yes. And in the, in all the years in Brazil, we also had to learn how difficult it is to get big surfaces.
So this was very interesting.
Yes. So, actually, and you know, the people, we had such a good impression of these people. This was actually the most important point, I would say.
So these are people you can work with.
Yeah.